In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the last Sunday of the Coptic year, and the reading, as we just heard, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And if you noticed, it is almost the same reading that we heard last week when we heard the same passage and same meaning, but from the Gospel of St. Mark. And again, the Church is reminding us with the end of the world and warning us how we should be prepared for these days, describing to us how these days are going to be difficult in many ways. But one of the plagues of the end of time is what the Lord said, that the love of many will grow old because of lawlessness. And this is one of the common plague, unfortunately, and we can see it happening in our lives and the life of the people around us, is that people start to develop cold hearts. We all talk about global warming and about how the climate is changing around us. But the real change, the one that is really of impact on us in a very negative way, is the change that happens in the side of the heart of every human being in this current age that we live in. So we'll talk today about this issue, the plague of end of time, the cold hearts. So we'll talk about causes, manifestations, outcome, and remedy. What are the causes? Why the love of many will grow cold? The first reason, as the Lord said, is lawlessness, abiding and living in sin. Sin will harden the heart of any individual. We can see this happening today. We can see fathers abandoning their families and mothers. They go away from their children just to pursue their own desires and living in a sinful life. This is the outcome. It's inevitable. We cannot live in sin, and at the same time, we have warmth inside us. Both of them cannot work together. Lawlessness also will turn the focus into myself. It's all about me, about what I want to pursue, what will make me happy, as the people usually say. It's all about being happy. This kind of selfishness, again, will lead us to this developing this kind of cold heart. Everything in my life is about me. And every human being that I deal with, I care about him because this person is doing something to me. Then we develop this kind of mind of consumerism. Everything for me to consume. So people are not any different than maybe a piece of fruit that I will eat it, and then that's it. I enjoy it, and then I throw the peel away. Lawlessness will lead us into developing cold hearts. The second reason is what the Lord told us about the third kind of ground when he spoke in the parable of the sower, about the ground that's full of thorns. And he said that this ground will receive the word of God and maybe work on it for a while, but later on what will happen is this kind of thorns will suffocate, will choke the fruits. What are these thorns that can grow in our hearts and choke the love and the care in our hearts? Number one is being so busy. And busyness is not something wrong per se, as far as we can still know what are the priorities. But busyness sometimes takes us into that we even abandon the most important tasks that we are even created to perform. Being parents, for example. Sometimes we are so busy even to have time to talk with our kids. Or whenever we have time, we find it's maybe more pleasurable to spend it over our phones watching news or whatever we want to follow. This kind of being so busy away from God and away from our families definitely will make our hearts to grow cold. Another thorn also, which is the worries and the desires of richness. We run after this kind of dream that we become more rich. And assuming that when we become richer, then our families will be more stable. Our children will be happier. And this is not the case. It's not about how much money we add. It is about how much love we show. This is something we have to be clear about it and to understand it very well. The worries about what will happen tomorrow, let me run further in order to heap more treasures, keep more positions, and thinking that this is what is going to secure my family. This also another kind of thorn that will choke love in the heart. Another thorn is being captivated by images and news. We now we live in an age where we favor images. We want to see pictures. I see sometimes this in maybe whenever the airport, sitting beside someone having his phone and then just running pictures. He does not even stop for a minute to read what's underneath. It's all about the picture. When we do this, it's very hard for us to pray, by the way. To go to your room, lock yourself, and open an igbaya that does not have pictures, then it becomes hard. All these kind of images will make us to grow cold. Everything will become is about watching and being always fixed before this kind of news or this kind of images. The third reason why this cold heart will become the plague of the end of time is isolation. Even though we are so much connected over the internet, but we are isolated from one another. We might live in the same household, but parents seldom have time maybe to talk to each other or to talk to their kids or sit around the table. We're so much, again, into the internet, the technology. We are so much connected to this and we are isolated from God. No prayers, no reading of the Bible. And in the church also in the same way. And our coming to the church starts even to go more and more infrequent. And the Bible tells us that a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Parents sometimes are satisfied whenever their kids are in their rooms and they are not making noise. But you do not know what is happening inside. Where is he or she? What he is doing exactly? Is he spending his time or her time in a wise way? Or he is destroying himself, just being consumed into whatever the internet is taking him for. Another cause of cold heart is being stingy. And I'm not speaking here about spending money. We all know how to spend money with our kids. We feel like it's something that maybe numb our conscience, that we buy them whatever they want. But we are stingy in sharing ourselves. Your kid maybe value the time with you more than the money you give to him. Yes, maybe he will be happy that you buy him something, a new device. But it's more important that you spend yourself. You spend your time, your care. You are willing to listen. And you are happy to spend the time with him or her. This is truly being a kind and charitable person. It is not about money. Being stingy and sharing self, this also will lead hearts to grow cold, either from our side or from those people who should receive our love and care. What are the manifestations? Whenever this kind of plague prevails, what will happen? How life will look like? The first observation is will be lack of empathy and willingness to understand others. I don't want even to spend the time to think about how other people feel or what they care about. Because again, it's all about me, about how I feel. It's all about expecting others to try their very best to understand what I want. But what about me understanding them? This will not be anymore something of value of my time. Another manifestation also is shallow spiritual practices. It will be about doing the minimum. By the way, whenever we listen to a recording of somebody's praying, this is not us praying. We are just listening to someone who is praying. But this become now as if like this is praying. It is enough for me that I listen maybe over the phone to someone who is reciting the Agbaya, and I consider that I prayed with him. This is not prayer. Prayer is to go to my room, lock the door, dedicate the time, raise my hand, and then I struggle to keep my mind in the same place while I'm offering worship. Listening to the liturgy is not attending the liturgy. We should not deceive ourselves by saying this is a spiritual practice that will get us anywhere. To pray is to be here, attending the liturgy, for example. Now it becomes the trend. It's okay that I can come maybe every other week or every 3 weeks, as if like the COVID gave us an excuse that I can stay at home. I can come to the liturgy later because I want to, in a way, avoid crowdedness for safety. And then what? Where we go with this? These shallow practices would lead the heart to grow cold towards God and towards each other. Another manifestation of cold heart is being always defensive and angry while dealing with one another. As we said, I am not willing to understand or even to try. So all of the time, it's about, again, how I feel. Whenever someone is correcting me, I will be defensive. And I'm always angry because people are not meeting my expectations. It's a sign of a cold heart, of selfishness. The last manifestation will be slipping into a status of hunger and dissatisfaction. A heart that is deprived of God's love and feeling this kind of longing for Him, and accordingly deprived of other people's love and compassion, then definitely will go into a status of hunger. This emotional, spiritual hunger will lead us to seek to be filled with any kind of garbage that the world is offering to us. What is the outcome? What will happen when this kind of phenomena will be the prevailing feelings, cold hearts? The first outcome is growing in a hostile and unstable environment. We can see this happening in the community around us. Crime rate is going up and things are going in a lawless way. Even if it happens in the community, there is no justification. It happens at home, and sadly it happened at home. Home now is not always a place of calmness, of peace, of talking with love and compassion. We find hostility, aggression, and cruelty, hurting one another feeling, insulting one another. Why we get there? This shouldn't be the case. The home, it should be a warm place, as the church exactly. Why this is happening? It's again growing with a cold heart. Another outcome is lacking the understanding and appreciation of God's love and care. All the time we talk about what I want, and I'm missing this. Why God is not granting me so and so and so? It's very perplexing to see how in the developed world, where people are having abundance, more people are turning to atheism. Something very strange. Those people, they have more than anybody else. Why? They are not appreciating God. Again, it's the cold heart. I'm not understanding God's economy. I'm not appreciating what He is doing or what He is offering. The idea about Him offering Himself on the cross is something that's for spiritual reflection, hearing sermons. But I do not really care about this, or I feel like this is something that's relevant to me. Another outcome which is so sad is the broken relationships. We live an age now where when we hear about the divorce of someone, we are not surprised. It's something that can happen. I remember the time when this kind of news was something that seldom heard, that somebody from the church got into a divorce. I understand some people are victims. I know this very well. But again, the prevalence of this, the broken relationships, divorce either in a civil way or in the church way, whatever it is prevailing. Sadly, it is becoming more and more something that we live with it. We see it happening around us more often than before. This status of cold heart will make us to get into more lawlessness. It's a vicious cycle. Lawlessness will lead to a cold heart, and cold heart will lead to lawlessness. And this is how the theme of the life we live in today. What is the remedy? How should we guard ourselves against this kind of plague growing with a cold heart. The first step is to stabilize the environment around us. We are responsible for yourself and your household. I'm not talking about community here. What is you are responsible for is your own home, to make sure that you are making your house a stable place. Stable environment will be developed whenever there is a consistent life of worship. Prayer is as maybe more significant, important than even our day-to-day meals, the time we have to, for example, take rest and sleep. We care so much that our kids will eat and eat healthy and eat on time. No mom will allow her children maybe to go out to school in the morning without eating. But it is okay that they can skip prayer. It's fine. No problem. No even reminder that this is something of value you have to maintain and keep for your safety and well-being. Stable environment means there is a life of worship that's consistent. Every Sunday we are at the church. It's not optional. It's not something we can negotiate about. There is no other option for us or our families to survive. To have safe homes free of offenses. When the Lord spoke about offenses, He spoke about offending children. And I can say this, and this is so sad to say, most of the offenses that happen to our children happen at home, not outside. When our children see something wrong outside, they always can say that those people live in a way, in a certain way. Maybe they do not know. But what is the excuse for us when we offend them at home and give them bad example? Then what will happen? How they will grow? How they will think of what the family is about? All of these offenses we are responsible to clean our houses from. A good example from the Bible about this family of Elkanah and Hannah, the parents of Samuel. They used to go every year to worship. It's a habit that they never broken. And even though there was some kind of like hostility from his other wife to Hannah, then she still kept a good relationship, a stable environment for this family. The first remedy for this cold heart, or to avoid this kind of cold heart, is to have a stable environment. The second one is to have positive relationships at home. When we talk to our kids about abstracts, like for example, love, what is love is about? What is compassion is about? What is gratitude? All of these are abstracts, but they understand it from how we deal with them and we deal with one another. If, for example, we portray for them that love is about sacrificing, that I do all what I can, even on the expense of my own rest, in order for me to make you a better person, a living in a safer environment, and enjoying care and kindness. This is, again, what will make them to understand what are all of these meanings are about. Positive relationships at home will only happen when there is empathy, when there is partnership. We are working together. I am not your manager or overseer as parent. When there is acceptance, not because of something you do, but because of whom you are. When there is forgiveness and gratitude, all of these make this kind of positive impact, make the heart to grow warmer towards one another and definitely towards God as well. The third remedy is to develop strong connections. First of all, with God. And there is no connection with God will ever happen away from prayers. No matter how hard we try, give all of your possessions, all of your money. This will not solve the situation. It's with prayers, fervent and daily prayer. Look here when the two disciples of Emmaus met the Lord Christ while they were going from Jerusalem to their home city, and they were in a way sad because of the incidents of the crucifixion. Then they talked with the Lord Christ. At the end of the meeting, they said, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the scriptures to us? This is the outcome. Whenever the scripture is opened, then the heart will be burned with love towards the one who gave himself to us. The Bible is a letter of love that God sent to us, telling us how much he loved and he cared and how much he is still preparing us for something that's greater than anything that we ever encountered. Imagine someone send you a letter saying how much I love you and I care about you. And sometimes we don't even care to open the letter. I know what is in it, so what is the big deal? Whenever we love someone, we keep reading his messages or her messages over and over and over because we care. Someone sends you a letter and this letter is so dear because it comes from a person who loves you and care about you. God loves us and care about us. An open scripture will keep us connected with his love. Connections within the church. I know the people. I care about them. I have connections with everyone, with the Buna, with the deacons, with everyone around me. Within the family, I'm not just like cohabitating, living in a hotel with those group of people waiting for the time to flee. Strong connections also with a friend from the cloud of witnesses. Let us teach our children how to befriend a saint. This saint becomes their like intercessor. I love this person. I know what he did to me. I can follow how much I called on him and he was there for me. All of this will get us connected with God, with his people, either in heaven or on earth. The fourth remedy is to develop tender-heartedness and deal with one another in a tender-heartedness manner. To be tender-hearted is something, it's a command. As St. Paul said to the Ephesians, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's something that we can develop. We can work on ourselves. We can show it in the relationship around us and showing in our relationship with God. We grow with tender-heartedness when we share oneself with others. My time is after I finish or I complete all of what is needed from me to help other people around me. I always say the father's job is the most difficult one. He should be the person who wakes up earlier than anybody and sleeps the last in the house, making sure that everyone is comfortable, making sure that he connects as much as it can with other people around him. People sometimes say this is the mother's job. I say this is the father's job. The father should support the mother, and the mother supports the household. This is, again, what will get us to grow with tender-heartedness. Speaking words of grace, complimenting one another. It does not cost us anything when we call the people at home good words and compliment them and make them feel and know that we are happy to see them and deal with them. Being intentional in showing affection to others. In the story of the lost son, while he was coming back, dragging his feet, feeling ashamed that he abandoned his family, then we find the father doing what? Waiting for him, running to him, falling on his neck, hugging him and kissing him, welcoming him home. All of these kind of actions are showing affection. The father could have, in a way, grilled him, saying that, oh, you abandoned me, now you are coming back, this is what I told you, all this kind of stuff that everyone can say. But the father was more caring to show love and affection than talking about what happened in the past. It's a lesson for us. This father is God, and this is an example for us to imitate. My brethren, the Lord is warning us that in the end of time, people's heart will grow cold. Don't reconcile with yourself with, it's okay, I can live like this, and it is what it is. Let us all defend ourselves and defend our families from growing with cold hearts. May the Lord to grant us warmth in our relationship with him and with others, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.